All right, well, welcome this morning. Welcome to church. Welcome to New Life Church this morning on this Palm Sunday, where we are all about making Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. I want to welcome those of you who are watching online. We welcome you into our gathering this morning. Pray that the presence of the Lord touches your life right where you're at. Well, it's good to see everybody here. So glad you made it out. So good to see you. So good to see you. I mean that sincerely. It is great to see you guys. Our theme for this year as a church, if you're new, is looking forward. It's based out of Philippians 3, about looking ahead and looking forward to what God has prepared what he is calling us to in our life this year as a church. The title of today's message is called The Beautiful Celebration. And I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the New Testament. John chapter 12 is where our main text is going to be. As you get there, just want to give you a moment to turn there. John chapter 12. Again, take note of those handouts that are near your seats today about Holy Week. You can check those out and look at the different times of services in the community this week to draw close to the Savior as the community of Christ here in Jackson. John chapter 12, before I read John chapter 12, our text, just a quick background context to this. Jesus had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead, all right? And then in honor of that, they were throwing a pretty big special dinner for him. Shortly thereafter, he and Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary, invited Jesus over to his house to have a celebration, a dinner. And they did that, and then when we get to this portion, it says it's 6 days before Passover. And so this week, okay, it's this week in times of context here. And it leads us into knowing what this week is all about, and it marks the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. All right, we're going to pick up in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and they cried out, 'Hosanna!'" I'm going to ask you guys to repeat three different phrases here. First one is this, "Hosanna." That's what they cried out. They shouted out, "Hosanna." And they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then they said, "The King of Israel." So they said, "Hosanna." They shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they shouted, "The King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. And as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And his disciples, however, did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was later glorified, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Will you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for today and what your word has in store for us. Lord, I pray today that you would use my preaching today to awaken the hearts of people and to stir us to knowing more about you and your truth. Lord, it's my passion and ministry to preach your message. And I ask that, Lord, you would anoint it and help all of us, God, to make you the center of our life. May you be glorified through your word. May you be glorified through this preaching. May you be glorified today in and through your church. In Jesus' name, everyone can say amen. Let's check out this video.
Let me tell you about Rachel. She's 21, just graduated college, summa cum laude. She's funny, a bit too studious, according to her boyfriend. And she tells everyone she knows that they need to be trained in CPR. Oh, and she'll take a trip to France one day. And she'll tell stories about it for the rest of her life. This party, it's meant to celebrate her first real job. It's a entry-level position, but it does provide a steady income. It also provides a retirement plan and even comes with dental. Seems that she's well on her way. What nobody here today could possibly know is that she will
become department manager in just 6 months. She'll start running marathons. She will get married and become a mom. She'll walk her friend Teresa through a chronic illness. And after all that, become CEO of the company.
You see, her family and friends are celebrating what is with no idea of what is to come.
It's very similar for Israel on that first Palm Sunday. You see, they all line the streets, crowds fighting for the best view of the king, who would be even greater than King David himself.
They'd prayed so long.
For generations they prayed. And here he was. And so, that's why they grabbed their palm branches, right? And they celebrated him because in their minds, he was going to free them from Rome.
And so they all shouted the same thing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, they celebrated what they knew about Jesus, that he was a good teacher, that he was a miracle healer, that he was a divine prophet. What they couldn't begin to imagine. As he rode into town that day, he would be the fulfillment of prophecy, would bring healing for sin. He would show the world what love truly is. They had no idea that the one riding through town was the King of Kings all over the world. The past kings, the present kings, the kings to come, King of all kings. Paul said it so well. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, when he said, to him who is able to do more than we could ever hope for or imagine, to him be the glory through all generations, forever and ever. And so, just like them, we cannot imagine what is to come. But as we join in the chorus of their voices, celebrating what Jesus has done, may we also celebrate the God, the Savior, the King of all kings, who can do more than we could ever imagine.
Celebrating what we don't know. It's around 1999, Christmas time. I was at a staff Christmas party at the church that I was working for. I was the assistant youth pastor at the time. My wife and I were at this Christmas party for staff and a lot of lay leaders of the church, 30, 40 people in this home, and having a good time celebrating Christmas. Our pastor gets up, makes a little speech talking about, hey, appreciate everybody, all the hard work you did for the year. And then he makes an announcement. He says, hey, by the way, Jeremy and Haley are going to be the new youth pastors next year. We were just assistants, and he was saying we're going to be the youth pastors next year. Haley looks at me, I look at her, and she's like, did you know they were saying that? And I'm like, did you know they were going to say that? We were celebrating what we didn't know was to come. Anybody ever been in a position like that? Well, I think oftentimes we probably find ourselves like that in life and our faith, just celebrating, going along with it, and not really understanding the full impact what is at stake and what the meaning of that is. You see, that's what they thought in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday when they welcomed Jesus in. They thought they were welcoming in a Jesus who was going to come in and overturn their political power and leaders at the time and set them free. They had no idea what was about to take place. It was so much bigger and so much greater than what they could ever imagine. You know, hindsight, they say, is 20/20, right? And there in verse 16 of John chapter 12, it tells us that even the disciples who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, seeing all that he had done and witnessing what was happening with him riding into Jerusalem, they still did not fully understand what was happening at first. Why line the streets? Why wave palm branches? Well, scholars tell us that's what they would do when a hero would come to town. If a great leader had come and won a victory, in a battle, then they would have a palm branch parade. If there were a new king, they would throw a palm branch parade. If Jerusalem beat Jericho in the Super Bowl of their time, there would be a palm branch parade. Not really, that didn't happen. At least I don't think it did. You see, their actions, though, actually corresponded with Scripture in Psalm 119. Take a look at it with me. Excuse me, Psalm 118. Take a look at it with me in verse 25 and 26. It says, "Please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you. We bless you." You see, everything that they did was actually appropriate. That's what was supposed to happen, so to speak. But the crowd, they just didn't understand. They didn't understand what was about to happen, and that what was about to happen was so much bigger than anything they could ever imagine. And so on this Palm Sunday, what we're going to do is take a few minutes. We're going to peel back the veil, if you will, a little bit to see three things that they were celebrating, but they didn't know what it was fully about. Now, the good news for you and I is that we can see what to celebrate and actually know what it means. They celebrated three things. Here's what they didn't know. They were celebrating, number one, salvation. They were celebrating salvation. The word Hosanna, as they shouted out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Hosanna is found in a lot of worship songs. In the King James Version, it's found six times in the New Testament. And it comes from a biblical Hebrew phrase meaning this: to save, pray, save us. You see, the crowd celebrated salvation when they were shouting Hosanna, but they were not necessarily celebrating the salvation the way we think of salvation. They were likely to have been thinking of something a little different, more along the lines of what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9. Take a look at this scripture. We often quote this around Christmas time. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." You see, they had in mind a salvation from Rome, a salvation from physical oppression. They were celebrating what they didn't really know. What we know is that our Hosanna was coming to bring salvation to our souls. In fact, Peter would later write about that in 1 Peter 1, verse 9. He said, "The reward for trusting in Christ is the salvation of your soul." You see, Jesus would provide a way for us to find freedom, for us to know what it was like and what it can be like to be freed from the oppression of sin in our life. He would bring freedom that no one could ever imagine. It was not going to be like what they thought. They were celebrating something that they did not fully know. And Jesus came to bring freedom. And there is an excitement from being free from a physical oppression, but there is nothing like being free spiritually from spiritual oppression. You see, people live in this country every single day. We go where we want to go. We eat what we want to eat. We drive where we want to drive. We work wherever anybody will hire us. We make as much money as we possibly can make. We wear what we want to wear. We say what we want to say. We're protected under the freedom of speech. All these different things. But yet, there are so many people living in our country today who are still sick in the soul, still spiritually oppressed. It was not about physical oppression to be saved from, but it was about a deeper thing, an eternal thing, spiritual oppression from sin. And Jesus came for that reason. They celebrated what they didn't know. They celebrated salvation, but they didn't fully understand it. Number two, They celebrated what they didn't know by celebrating the coming Savior when they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You see, that phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," was used to just be a sign of welcoming someone in the name of the Lord, welcoming someone who was important. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were seeking to welcome the one that was mentioned in Jeremiah's prophecy. We're looking at all of these prophecies, and these are just a few, because all of these point to the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming Savior. And they had these scrolls, and they were taught, and these were read, and they would know there was something significant about them, but there was more than what they fully understood. Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah 23 reads, "For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land." Sounds amazing. "And this will be his name: the Lord is our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu." The Lord is our righteousness. "And in that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety." Man, that sounds amazing, right? Sounds amazing. In that day, God's people will be saved. In that day, they will have peace. In that day, they will have safety. In that day, no more oppressors. In that day, no one to rule with an iron fist. In that day, it sounds so good. It's all about interpretation and understanding. You see, the crowd welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem at that time, possibly for two reasons. First, it was Passover, all right? There was a lot of people packed into Jerusalem that week. A whole lot of people came from all four corners to celebrate the time when God liberated them from their slavery under Egypt's rule, okay, when they were there and delivered them, the Exodus. However, that particular day, they also were welcoming him with this in mind: the seat of the city that represents the seat of power. You see, in their mind, he wasn't just coming to celebrate, but in their mind, he was coming to take over political power. That's what they were hoping would happen. All their troubles would be remedied. All their issues would be solved. All their questions would be answered. And Jesus would come that week. He would come to celebrate Passover while he was there in Jerusalem. But he had no intentions of ever sitting on an earthly throne. You see, that was their ideology. That was their interpretation, that this Messiah has to do it our way. He's got to save us, but he's got to save us from physical oppression. He's got to save us from all of our earthly troubles. He did not come to occupy an earthly throne. He sits on a heavenly throne, but occupying humanity's heart. For Ephesians 3, Paul's prayer in that time, he says, "The prayer I pray is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You see, God's plan all along was for our Savior to come and not occupy a throne on earth, but to occupy the throne of humanity's heart. Big difference. Big difference. You see, Jesus would go on to take the Passover meal and celebrate it with his disciples, but he did so to show that he would be, and he is, the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And we're going to be doing that later this week on Friday, Good Friday service at 6:30, candlelight communion time to celebrate that and to remember that. And while he did not seek a throne in Jerusalem, he does seek a throne in every single person's heart. You see, because when this happens, when Jesus occupies the throne on our heart, Paul's continual prayer is that we would know how high, how wide, how long, how deep the love of God is for his people. You see, if you've not tasted and seen how good and how great God's love is for your life, then you've never tasted true love. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater realization. There is no greater knowledge of knowing and beginning to discover how high, how wide, how long, and how deep God's love is for you and me. It's revolutionary. It's not revolutionary in knocking another king off of an earthly throne. It's revolutionary in causing the rule of sin to be knocked out of our life to save us from the slavery of sin and death. And that's what Paul was praying in Ephesians 3. You see, a Savior came into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday to pay the price so that we could invite him to sit on the throne of our heart. They were celebrating what they didn't know. Thirdly, they were celebrating the King. Sounds like, man, that's okay. That sounds like a good idea. Blessed is the King of Israel. You see, the idea of a Savior coming into town insinuates that a future king would be coming in to rule. And that's why they were shouting. They had this understanding, okay, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, this Jesus Christ who's coming in, he is the one, okay, he is going to occupy this throne right here. He's the new king coming into town. So that's why we're shouting, blessed is the King of Israel. If you will do it my way, if you will rule my way, if you will sit where I want you to sit, if you will occupy where I want you to occupy, if you will just kind of lead my life and cause it to be all right again, and just let me still have my life, but yet your life, and we kind of blend it. No, it's one has to take over the other. It's about surrender to Christ, surrender to the King. You see, they gave him this title before he ever took the throne. And they saw Jesus riding on a donkey. And when they saw that happening, perhaps they were remembering some of these ancient words that were written 500 years beforehand from the prophet Zechariah in verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph." They were doing that. "O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you, and he is righteous and victorious, and yet he is humble, riding on a donkey and riding on a donkey's colt." Man, what an earthly king Jesus would have made. Such pomp and circumstance. Such prestige. Such humility. Such compassion. He spoke like one who had never spoke before and gave so many people so much hope. He would have made an amazing earthly king. But as you know, that would have bound him by time and proximity. He did not come just to save one. He came to save all, to reconcile. Whoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. He would have made an amazing earthly king, but that was not his job. That was not his position. That was not his calling. That was not his purpose. He came to save the world, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only son, that whoever would believe in him, whoever would put their trust in him, whoever would rely on him, whoever would surrender to him would not perish but have everlasting life." God came into the world not to condemn the world but to save the world through Christ Jesus. And as Paul Harvey would say, we know the rest of the story. See, they were celebrating what they didn't know. You and I get to celebrate what we do know, but do we really fully know it? We need to ask ourselves that today on this Palm Sunday. Do we really know what we are doing? What we're celebrating? There's always more to the story. There's always more to know, more to discover about our Savior. You see, you can't get bored with Jesus. You can't get bored with Jesus because none of us have arrived to perfection yet. None of us has gotten it all down. None of us are living out this life in total surrender to Christ. No, we aim to do that daily, hopefully, in our following of Christ, to take up our cross and follow him. We can't get bored with Christ. There's always more to the story. You see, Jesus would just borrow a tomb because he knew he would return it in 3 days. And he reigns over all, and he is worthy of all of our praise, worthy of all of our glory, worthy of all of our lives, worthy of everything that you and I have, because he is greater than what we realize. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapter 19, shines some light on this. In verse 11, John the Revelator writes this: "I saw heaven opened. A white horse was standing there, and its rider was named Faithful and True. For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war." In verse 16, "And on his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of all kings, Lord of all lords." We see that Jesus was and is a faithful king. He's a true, just, and mighty king, and he is king of all kings. King of all kings. He reigns over it all. And as Paul writes to the believers in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, he says this about him in chapter 2. "God elevated this Christ, Jesus. He elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name that is above every name." Name above all other names. Think about your life. Think about anything in your life that causes you to miss the mark with Christ. Think about sorrow. Think about your troubles. Think about your diagnosis. Think about whatever. It has a name. The name Jesus is above all of those names. You see, we have a remedy to our problems. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And it says, at that name, every knee should bow. You see, it's about surrender. It's about honor. And it's about worship. It's about yielding our life unto him. But here's the issue. We're a bunch of control freaks. Thank you for that. We're a bunch of control freaks. We want it our way. Right? Yes, Pastor. Yeah, you're right. Man, you're speaking right to me. Dang, come on. Stop it. I know Burger King says you rule, but come on. He rules. We don't. I like the tune. It's catchy. I don't eat there, but it's catchy. I'm like, man, if I really liked it, I probably would go there. I like the catchy tune. You rule. BK. Have it your way. You rule. Right? That we live in a society that teaches us, that tries to shape us. You gotta get life your way. We come out of the womb all the way to the tomb screaming, I want my way. You can't interpret it at 3 months old, but that's what they're saying. I want my way. I want my way. Right? There's so much freedom when we let him have his way. Now, I'm not preaching to you from a place that, man, I've gotten there. I still want my way. But the more I let him have his way, man, there's so much peace that happens inside of me. You see, every knee bow, every tongue confess, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. They celebrated what they didn't know. They got so close to getting it right on that first Palm Sunday. No one could ever begin to imagine this amazing plan that God was setting in motion through that beautiful celebration on that first Palm Sunday. You see, with that beautiful celebration, it shows us that salvation indeed was coming. Not to set us free from an oppressive government, but to set us free from the oppression of sin. And friends, I just want to tell you, if you are stuck in a cycle of sin in your life, maybe secretly, maybe you've tried to confess that and you still can't gain freedom or victory over that. Maybe generationally, things have just been passed on to you. There's freedom if you'll welcome the fullness of salvation of Christ into your life. All you got to do is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Romans 8:1, Megan read this earlier. There is no condemnation right now for anyone who are in Christ Jesus. Because the spirit of the life of Christ Jesus makes you free from the spirit of sin and death. You see, they were celebrating what they didn't know, but this beautiful celebration teaches us and shows us that a Savior was indeed to be welcomed. Not into a city, not into a celebration, not into some conference where everybody feels good about everything, but into our hearts. Into our hearts, so that we would know God's great love for us. Today, my friends, if your heart is closed, if it's hard, if it's cold, if it's distant, if it's doubtful, if you're just like, man, I don't know, I want to encourage you, welcome the Savior fully into your life. He will change the climate of your soul. He will change the destiny of your life. He will revolutionize you from the inside out. If you will truly let Christ become fully alive on the inside of you, He will and He does break every chain. He really does destroy strongholds. He really does forgive, and He forgives deep because His love is deep. He reconciles. He restores. He rebuilds. He reshapes. If you're trying to figure life out, you're trying to make it on your own, you're trying to willpower yourself to get better in this world, then come on, you need to let Jesus take over, because you'll always take one step forward and two steps back. Always. And you'll always be wondering, why can't I get ahead? Why can't I make it? When will my chance come? When will my turn come around? When will somebody not acknowledge me? When will somebody give me a chance? When will this thing be good for me? It won't. It won't. It never will. Because you will always be trying to do it out of yourself. And friends, Jesus came to save us from ourselves. And you need to let Him take over. This beautiful celebration shows us that a king was indeed riding on a donkey, not in a limousine, not with all the bells and whistles, the smoke and mirrors, the fireworks, none of that. But He came, not just as any king, but He came as the king of all kings. And He came to set things right. He came to set things straight. What got lost in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, Jesus came, the second Adam, to make it all right. Today, if you're carrying a heavy load, here's what you can do. You can cast off your cares onto Christ, because He loves you and cares for you. You see, this king is different than any other king ever. He always welcomes you in. He sits with you. He will kneel with you. He will get on the floor with you. He will walk with you through every part of life. And He will take your worry and your fears and your anxiety and your burdens. And when you give them to Him, He exchanges all that with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, Pastor, you don't really know what I deal with. You don't know what I wrestle with. You don't know what I struggle with. I don't. if just the thing, if we could see what everybody's thinking right now in life, we would be like, oh. But here's what we would also discover. Man, you deal with that too? You wrestle with that as well? You mean you've had that going on? Jesus wants to give you peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. But you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. You want salvation? Come to Jesus. You want deliverance? Come to Jesus. You want forgiveness? Come to Jesus. You want peace? Come to Jesus. And friends, if you've already decided, you're already welcome to Savior, you're already living with a 2020 vision, you're like, man, I'm following the Lord. I want to tell you this, then don't ever look back. Don't ever look back. Don't ever look back. Don't ever look back. Keep going and coming to Jesus. Don't ever look back. Will you stand with me today? Come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you love us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming in and doing what you did as we start this week of Holy Week. Lord, help us to start it out by being a person who truly welcomes you in for the right reasons. You're not a lottery ticket. No, you're greater than that. You're greater than that. Lord, forgive us where we have pursued you with ulterior motives. But hey, you knew that. You know that. You just need us to come around to knowing that for ourselves. Lord, forgive us for where we haven't pursued you, where we haven't welcomed you, where we've just kind of carried on with life, and you're waiting for us to just answer the door. You've been knocking. Today, Lord, we want to do that. We want to welcome you in. We welcome you in by coming to you. And Lord, we lay it all out before you. From our sins, to our sorrows, to our sickness, to our worries, our doubts, our questions. Jesus, come. We welcome you in. I'm going to close with this song today. If you need any prayer, you need somebody to pray with you, I'm just going to invite you to come to the altar today. We'll have ministry leaders here who will meet you to care for you and pray with you. And if not, that's fine, but we're just going to worship the Lord in this final song. Come to Jesus.